Welcome to the Diecast, everybody. I'm Seamus, and with me this week is Mumbles.
Yeah.
And Chris.
Hello.
And Rutzgarn.
Hey, guys.
And absolutely nobody else.
I'm nobody else. Woo, I'm the ghost of spoiler warning. Woo.
Guys, does anyone know how to get rid of a ghost? Does anyone know how to really get rid of a ghost? Like, really get rid of it?
Like, scrub the place clean?
Just no ghosting.
You have to wait until the ghost dies of old age, which takes a while, as I'm told.
Or tequila.
So, I feel that we've been too negative lately. I want to be more positive, talk about something good. You know, talk about the good things in gaming rather than focusing on the negative. So, let's focus on the giant steaming pile of shit that is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 and how it ruined the franchise and has scored way lower than Aliens Colonial Marines. I think I just...
Well, right off the bat, can I turn this over to Chris for a second? Chris, does the number 5 make any sense in the context of enumerating this Tony Hawk video game?
If they were trying to make a statement, yes, because I think the idea was they were trying to say it's back to basics and back to its roots, and this is the first true sequel to Tony Hawk Pro Skater, not Ride, not HD, not, I don't know, what other
American Wasteland,
or the Project 8. This is nothing like any of those. This is just back to basics, except it's completely not that and awful.
It is.
The positive thing about the launch of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 is we got a whole bunch of really funny YouTube videos showing off how bad it is. See, I'm going to stay positive for you, Seamus.
Yeah, see, if you didn't pay $60, which they're still charging $60, I mean, Batman worked better than this, and they pulled that off of Steam.
Yeah, people could launch Batman and not get stuck on a spinning logo of Activision.
Performance aside, I mean, yeah, in all seriousness, Arkham Knight, Seamus beat it on the PC. I could play it. It just had super jittery frame rate issues. It sucked, but it could be played and beaten and functioned as you would expect a game to. This is not that. This is far, far beyond that. This is things don't work. The game doesn't load on Xboxes.
It's like if someone tried to make a Tony Hawk mod in Garry's Mod or something. Like,
yeah.
That's really what it looks like. It looks like dicking around in Garry's Mod to me, honestly.
Well, that's the other thing, is the game is hideous. Like, it is clearly not ready for prime time.
Yeah, it looks like an indie project. It's just, like, super flat and ugly and like sort of
incredibly low resolution textures for like the ground and stuff. Like it, were they attempting to make Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 level graphics?
No one other than me seems to remember Eco, the Bungie game before Bungie made Halo and became famous. But the levels
Echo
remind me of
Ico.
No, not Echo. Eco. Ico, ICO.
I'm fucking.
But the
with
levels
you.
Look like that. Like early 2000s 3D, large empty space, gray with a couple splashes of color. Really just ugly. So ugly.
My point of comparison is always PlayStation 2 era licensed video games.
What do you do if you work on a game like this? Do you put it on your resume? This is what I've been wondering about, like, all week. If you, like, worked on it, are you going to put Tony Hawk 5 on your fucking resume to get...
The actual individual skills involved with developers are often so divorced from the actual quality of the product that I'm not sure it would be a toxic thing to have on your resume. Like, if you were the project director, maybe, but...
Well, that's the thing. I get the sense that... I mean, not I get the sense. I'm almost certain that this is not a developer screw-up. The all indications point to this being an Activision publisher-side screw-up. No developer could look at what they're doing, what they've released with this, and be like, I did a good job on that. I am proud of my work. They can't be.
This is my vision for Tony Hawk. This is how I've always dreamed it would be. This, from the first time I had my hands on the game, this is the Tony Hawk I always wanted to play.
Or make.
One where when you come down off the half pipe, you just keep going into the center of the earth.
Tony Hawk standing on a piece of wood that shotgun blasts him, breaking both ankles about 5 feet above the ground, whereupon he scrapes his head down some textured paint. That is the Tony Hawk game that has been into my dreams.
It's a fun story because if you didn't pay $60 for it, it is a lot of funny, just slapstick videos. It is like watching somebody play Goat Simulator. It's that silly.
Well, yeah, it's like watching gameplay videos of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 is very eerily similar to watching videos of like people exploiting bugs and breaking Skate 3. You know, the same sort of like flying through walls and like, you know, yeah, physics objects doing really weird shit and the skaters flipping out. Like, but that wasn't like they had to work to get those in Skate 3. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 just gives it to you.
I wonder if it's an era to this stuff. I wonder if they're really going to make another game.
Well,
it's kind of sad. I think it's kind of sad that it is, it's probably the end of these Tony Hawk games, because as someone who grew up with them and is married to someone who grew up with them, it's kind of sad to just see it end like this. Just to see a game that, especially one that like was promising to be like the first two games, to just shit all over itself is so fascinating and just so sad. So fucking sad.
Well, that's something else I'm wondering. Like, is skater culture dead? Like, it was on its way out a decade ago. I look at Tony Hawk and I'm like, that's a thoroughly 90s guy with a thoroughly 90s occupation.
I think it's not mainstream anymore. I mean, it was mainstream when the first Tony Hawk games came out. It was, but I don't know if it is anymore.
You know, it's like going and watching Space Jam and then remembering, oh yeah, basketball was like the most popular sport for a couple years there.
I went to X Games. That's how fucking popular it was. I went to the X Games when I was like, I think 12 or 13, and it was like going to a Lollapalooza. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It was like going to a giant concert, basically. Like, it was really awesome and...
Oh, like a Coachella.
Kind of, but, like, just full of, like, teenagers who all look like they walked out of Hot Topic in Vans. Like, it was just, like... It was just, like, this one point in my generation that only lasted, like, 3 years. Like, swing music. And then it was gone forever.
Wait, we had a swing music?
We did. Well,
oh my God.
You're too young to remember it. You're too young to remember it, Joshua.
Oh God.
Swing was in the 90s. Swing was a thing there for a while.
Remember the Gap commercial? Right around the time The Mask released?
Oh, yeah.
They taught swing dancing
lessons. I totally
forgot
about that.
At my middle school. And then we had a swing dancing dance. And I actually went to like a Big Bad Voodoo Daddy concert. I had all of the Royal Crown CDs. I was way into swing music. And then I realized it was super lame.
My sister was super into it. So when I went to my brother's wedding, she, you know, we were out dancing and she taught me some swing steps because they were playing swing music because that was the thing. So I've actually done swing dancing, but, you know, not like on purpose. It's a wedding. Don't judge me.
So anyway, the reason that... Regardless of the state of skater culture, which I can't speak to because I'm not a part of it and I don't keep up with that scene. I could probably give
the most data there, actually, because I was in high school 7 years ago, as opposed to some of the rest of you who are in high school less recently. But
10 years ago.
30 years
for
ago?
Reminding me.
Yeah. When I was in high school, there was
your
a skate
entire
park
life
right
ago.
There was a skate park. Like my entire life plus about 5 years yet. 5 or 6 years yet. Skate park next to there's a skate park next to my high school, and that got a lot of usage. Like even when I drive back I see kids out there. So I don't know if skate culture is there as an identity, but people still skateboard at least.
But we live in California. I don't know if it's ever going to leave California.
Are there any new, like, celebrity skaters anymore? Is there a new generation?
Have you heard of the Bam Majeras?
No.
Are there any recent skater, like, somebody that's not
Tony
Hawk
is getting fucking old.
Not Rodney Mullen.
I mean, Tony Hawk's
Bam Majera's old, too.
Bam
Majera's
old.
Fucking old now. Oh, this is turning depressing. All right, can we change the subject? This is turning into...
Okay, Star Citizen, super controversial. It's been talked about lately. The Escapist ran a thing where they talked to some ex-employees, and they all had nasty things to say about the what's the company that's making Star Citizen?
Cloud Imperium Games. It's Chris Roberts' right. thing.
It's SIG everywhere, and I can never remember what SIG stands for. And then the guy making the guy behind the company came forward and said, this is a bunch of bullshit from grumpy leaving employees. And now you've got a bunch of people who are super invested in the game saying, there's no proof and this is all bullshit and this is an ugly hit piece. And you've got other people saying, yes, this is a terrible thing. And this is the biggest kickstarted game ever. So there's a lot of controversy to unpack here.
Well, let's back up there for a second, because like, The Escapist published an article where people from the company, like sources within the company that I'm fairly confident that actually existed and contacted The Escapist, said, you know, like, there's a whole bunch of problems here and went over a whole bunch of stuff, and that had Chris Roberts' responses to that. But I don't know absolutely for sure that, that they're real sources because they're all completely anonymous, which is kind of unfortunate. I mean, that's how journalism works sometimes, but it's kind of unfortunate in this case because this is also coming on the cusp of, Derek Smart, that wacky indie game developer in big air quotes who does a name search of himself every day and goes around and just creates flame wars all the time and acts like a complete ass doing this like ridiculously overblown, like, I'm going to file a class action lawsuit against you.
Yeah. So can you stop talking about him? What are you trying to do to my site?
What I'm trying to say is, yeah, that's a good point. Oh God, he is the sort of guy that would show up in the comments and whine about it. The point I'm saying is like it's maybe this was kind of the impetus that got The Escapist to investigate, but it's created this situation where a lot of people are sort of, I've seen, dismissing the article out of hand because the article is not nice to Star Citizen or the prospect of Star Citizen at all. So a lot of people are kind of saying like, oh, is this Derek Smart doing this? Which is unfortunate because it's a pretty decent article. You could say they have one of like the very first like quote boxes is it's never been done because it can't be done. Several sources, which kind of reads, I don't know, a little hostile, but it's a fairly well, like a fairly well-written piece of actual journalism. And they even wrote a follow-up article saying like, no, yes, these sources actually exist. Here's how we vetted them. It's a shame because it's kind of getting conflated with the sort of like Derek Smart attack, which has a not dissimilar tone, but is not well sourced at all, and is Derek Smart being Derek Smart.
The fact that he's part of the conversation is actually detracting from the important stuff.
Yeah.
Here's my take on it. There have been a lot of this is what I think is important. There have been a lot of ex-employees. Now we have to accept the premise that the person who wrote this article from The Escapist is telling the truth, that she actually spoke to these developers on the phone and that they showed, you know, this is what she claims, they showed pay stubs and other proof that they actually worked at Cloud Imperium Games. And these are the stories that they told. Okay? And that's not in debate. Chris Roberts, when he came out, didn't say those people have never worked here, none of this is true.
He did call some of it into question, like the like, how do you know how much money we have left? Only a few employees would have access to that and stuff like that.
I'm not going to tangle with the money thing. The thing I want to talk about is, okay, accepting her premise that she really talked to employees that had these horror stories from within the company. Now, if you just flat out just don't want to believe her and think she made it all up or that she's being, or that this is part of some big 4chan level scam to fool her or whatever, that's your business. I'm not going to argue that. But if we accept for the purposes of this argument, the premise that she actually talked to real disgruntled employees, then Chris Roberts' defense that, well, those are all just angry employees that, you know, left and now have a grudge. That's a horrible... Even if that was true, that's still a giant red flag. You lose either way.
Yep.
It's like the guy that says,
yeah.
Oh man, I've got five ex-wives and they were all horrible bitches. And it's like, you know what? You had five ex-wives. Maybe the problem wasn't them. You know, it's the, you should not, in a company this size, you should not have a large number of super hostile ex-employees. If you have a thriving, well-managed project, you're not going to have a lot of people leaving. And if it's a good work environment, the people that are leaving will be leaving for, you know, just because they need to change jobs. And they were not going to have a grudge, and they're not going to, like, go out of their way and spend a bunch of time trying to let everybody know what a hellhole it is. This is something really rare, and it's a giant red flag, and there's no way to explain it away gracefully.
In a game that has not had a red flag in its entire fucking development history. Oh, God, Star Citizen.
So it's a giant red flag about what's going on in this company. And it's very, the things that they're saying are very, very similar to similar flame. You know, Daikatana is the handy example. Well, we've seen a lot of teams just fall apart. One person in the middle just has either too much power or everybody's afraid of them because they're a really aggressive personality. And the more the project unravels, the more they make it about everyone else. Everybody else is failing me.
It should be noted also that the response from Chris Roberts, if you don't mind me cutting you off real fast, Red Skarn, the response from Chris Roberts is actually part of, like, the response in the article that was added to the article is actually part of a 5,000-word rebuttal on the goddamn website, much of which I haven't read, but which seems to be summed up as it's very, like, personal attacky and, like,
right.
I'm suspicious about the journalist who wrote this because she's supposedly a Gamergate supporter and also clearly in league with Derek Smart and all this stuff that we've kind of been, you know.
Well, but that is. But the point is, that's how Chris Roberts addressed these charges. Instead, it was all, it's everybody's fault, and you know, people are out to get me, and it's Derek Smart, and it's Gamergate, and it's ex-employees that hate me, and it's the world is against me. And even if all that's true...
Which incidentally is how he's communicated, like, the entire time. I mean, this is a project predicated on the idea that Chris Roberts is going to... do the impossible, and
John Romero
and,
is
you know,
make
create the
bitch.
Great, the great. It is very similar in tone to the John Romero stuff. He's going to create the great new revival of space sims, and it's going to be awesome. And remember how good the '90s were. You know, please spend $5,000 on this limited edition ship.
To me, the big fat waving red flag in that piece was the line that's where somebody, one of the employees, they said this, and this instantly rang true, which was, I don't know if they would have really thought to make this comparison, because I wouldn't have thought of it. Like, I just speak personally for myself, but it instantly, you get how personal and how real this feels, is that the project feels like the back of a book where you write, like, the vaguest possible, like, the broadest possible thing, and people immediately imagine the game they want. And everything they do is polishing up the back of the book, mm-hmm. and nothing is about writing it. And, like, that's... Because I thought about it, I'm like, that's how every single video game I've ever gotten really hyped for and then been disappointed by has been. Where they've Oblivion. Like, that's how that they show just enough to make you think that it was going to be that, like, you know, we have physics now, we have this radiant AI now. Like, you thought you were going to be stepping into a virtual reality world when they never said that. They just showed pictures of the right. stuff that was exactly like how it appeared in the game, and you just imagine that it's going to be the game you want. It's really easy to sucker gamers that way. Because we'll never learn.
So I was a a backer of Star Citizen originally. Still yes. Technically am. I think I could go and get a refund. This was back when it was a Kickstarter in 2012, and it was like, you know, I want to make a new space sim. I'm the guy who worked on Wing Commander. Would you like a space sim that has some multiplayer components? And that was like, that was the pitch. And it has like ballooned into this monstrosity since then. And into this like never ending crowdfunding campaign to make something.
That's another huge red flag is the continual effort to get more funds.
And in a sort of really super sketchy way, like, you know, the become a supporter of the game and give us $5,000 and you'll get this cool ship is the way it's you know, framed, and the way people defend it is you're not buying a ship for $5,000. You're, and this is, you know, I'm picking some of the most extreme examples. These are like limited edition things. They don't do this all the time, but, you know, you can spend a couple $100 on a ship pack. And they defend this as like, people who are into the game defend this as, I'm supporting the game and I'm getting something out of it rather than I'm spending thousands or hundreds of dollars on ships in a game that doesn't exist yet. But I mean it is effectively you're spending that money. You're not an investor. You don't have control over the thing. They're not obligated to be transparent to you.
If they
it's like when you get up to that
now,
like kind of money,
if there was a game that people were playing and not just hey here's hey here's a piece.
Yeah, well, that's you have a game, the Arena Commander, which is a sort of very bare bones multiplayer space shooter bit. And it's just I don't know how far it is, but I think last time I looked into it, it was like basically like, you know, a couple of ships and one level, and it wasn't like anything terribly stellar or spectacular, and certainly wasn't the game that they're promising. Now,
was that a pun?
Like sort of. Sure, why not? Let's go with it. It wasn't stellar. This is like not like them going back on their word on whether they were always planning on releasing this module first as like an initial thing to test like various like networking code and you know how the engine runs and everything, but it's super bare bones at this point and barely more than a demo. It's not right to say that they haven't released anything, but they haven't released much, and they're slipping on deadlines.
So it's really worries. That was the thing I wanted to weigh in on is when you have a large exodus of angry employees. That's a pattern we see again and again. High turnover on an ongoing project that hasn't shipped. That's in eternal funding mode. It's not that I'm out to get Star Citizen or I'm mad at it. I don't have any money in this game. That's what I see. That's, you know, we've seen historically this pattern again. If it comes out and the game's great, I'm fine with that. Great. I'm happy that we got a good game. But this is, that's my read on it.
Yeah, I'll be interested in what happens 6 months down the road. Because this, the employees or the sources, I should say, in this article, make specific predictions about the future of Star Citizen that should happen very soon.
Yeah.
Like they say, the Austin office is definitely going to be closing. And if that starts to happen, then you start to wonder, okay, what else is going to go wrong here that they were talking about, you know? And they say that they're almost out of money. So, you know, I'm fully expecting that if this article is completely accurate, we're going to start seeing the whole thing just kind of crash and burn in the next 6 months. And if it doesn't, you know, great. Then, you know, maybe this is kind of flash in the pan, and the game will actually come out and maybe be good. God forbid.
I would love that. I would love for this game to be good.
Even if it's good, if people are being abused in their workplace, though, like verbally, I don't know if I'm okay with that.
That is a good point. And we do kind of like, if this is true, then we do kind of want to see justice served. You know, you kind of get mad at Chris Roberts as a villain. Assuming this is true, obviously we don't know, but if he really did the things that these employees accuse him of, then he comes off as just this horrible, horrible abusive boss, and then you start cheering for the project to fail just so that he can get his comeuppance and be humiliated because he has it coming. Of course, that would also, you know, make all the people he's been abusing unemployed, but but yeah.
Well, some of them allegedly already are.
Oh, yeah, it was certainly some of them are. I don't, he's not even denying that. He's apparently admitting there are a bunch of ex-employees, but okay. I think this is as much time as we dare give this topic. I don't want to talk about this. I really don't, but I really should. All right. This week, I hate how this topic has been introduced. People are like, Patreon was warned, that their site was compromised, and 5 days later they got hacked. And everybody's like, well, they were warned. I don't know which 5 days they were or how serious they knew that. 5 days might be a lot of time to get to turn something around. So I don't hate on them too much. But what they were doing is one of the many... You install a bunch of different programs on your website to run it. And one of the programs they had running in debug mode, which means if there's an error, it opens up little... let's say a console, just to keep this simple. It opens up a means by which you can communicate with the site because you're a developer working on it. And they even tell you in the documentation, never, ever, ever install this software in debug mode on a public server where like the public can come in and use it. Because then if there's ever an error, somebody can just bring up this thing and they'll have full control over your whole machine. Well, they got a warning that their machine was compromised, and 5 days later, it was really, this hack could have even happened before the warning.
Yeah, that's the question that I have, is like, was it like 5 days later they were hacked, or 5 days later they realized that they were hacked?
Yeah, exactly. And the hack was serious. The person totally... To use hacker parlance, they pwned the machine. They got everything. 15 gigs off the machine. The entire database, all the files, all the emails, every private message.
And this includes hashed and salted passwords and personal information and whatnot.
I will stick up for Patreon. Okay, this was a horrible, horrible lapse of judgment, and it's absolutely the reason you should do a pen test on your servers once in a while. A pen test is where you pay some other firm to look for weaknesses, because your own IT people will always tell you the machine is solid, because if they didn't think it was solid, they'd be trying to fix it. So they've already fixed all the bugs that they know about. So you need to look for all the bugs that they don't know about. And for that, you need people outside your company. It was a horrible lapse, but at least, some of their system was designed properly. And in fact, I think even, aggressively secure. They stored no credit cards. So no credit cards were stolen. And all the passwords were 248-bit encrypted and salted. So that's about the best you could ever hope for. So they probably don't have any passwords, but they do have a bunch of personal information, which is just tragic. And I hate to see something like this happen to Patreon, because Patreon has been really good to us, all of us.
Yeah. So there's been some people curious about, like, hey, what does this mean for our Patreon campaigns? And right now, there's no change. Of course, it's not been very long for us to see the sort of fallout of what happens next. But, you know, I don't think any of us are too terribly worried about the breach in terms of personal information from us.
I'm not too worried about. I certainly didn't have. I never had my users send me their addresses so that I could send out gifts or anything. So if there is any compromise, it wouldn't be financially damaging to me, and it wouldn't be and it wouldn't damage any of my readers, as far as I can tell.
And at least in my case, I used a unique password for Patreon that is fairly secure in terms of an alphanumeric with symbols.
Really, what was so... it?
Well, Seamus.
I want to check and make sure it doesn't match the password that I used. You tell me your password, and I'll tell you if they match. And if they match, then you should go change yours. Okay.
Well, what if they don't match? Does that mean that you still hear my password, or does it like bleep it out for you?
Yeah, it'll be bleeped out. Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
Okay. Cool. My password is Hunter2.
It's the word secret. But okay, that sounds like a dumb password. But then I replaced the letter S with the number 5.
Oh my
god. Just think
god,
about that.
Like, I never thought of that.
Picture it. Because a 5 looks like an S. So obviously that's more secure.
I just hold down the exclamation mark and like count to 3, and it takes like 18 times to get it right because I don't know how many exclamation marks, and that's how good my password is. I don't even know what it is, really.
You don't know, but
about
it's very
3
emphatic.
Seconds. About 3 seconds worth of exclamation marks. That's the best.
What's your password? Oh, it's...
Okay, how do you spell that?
I put my kitten in the middle of the keyboard. Just drop him right there, and that's the password. Although I have trouble entering it. I think he's growing lately, so I'm not getting the same result.
I like the idea of you having a cat.
I know. Like, I would own a cat.
I just write down whatever mood I'm in at the moment. I have to change it every time. It's really secure.
I don't even use a password, because I don't know what my password is. I just hit the reset password button every time I want to log in.
That actually would be secure in a perverse way.
I mean, really, would it not be more secure, actually? Like, would it not actually almost be more secure to have a system where it just sends you an email every single time asking you to confirm that you're logging in than have a system where you can reset your password with an email?
Oh, yeah, two-factor authentication. That's actually not to go too far into specific stuff about security measure at my job, but anytime you want to log in to an account that has like administrator privileges at my company, you have to hit the login, go through the login process normally, type in your password and username, and then it will send your phone specifically that's associated with that account a text with a confirmation number that you then put in, and then you get to log in. And that confirmation number changes every single time you try to log in. So in order to log into my account at the company that I work for, you would have to know my username, my password, and you'd have to have my phone. And you can do that on Steam, sending an email to your email account or whatnot. That's actually a solution that's fairly decent as far as protecting access goes, and is in use and is becoming more common now, it seems.
Yeah, so hasn't hurt any of us so far. We're all a little worried. I hope nothing happens to Patreon, because like I said, I think Patreon is wonderful, but this is a serious breach.
Yeah.
And you can't just wave it away just because we like the service. This is pretty serious.
I'm almost just and like, I'm kind of like, eh, huh, well, yeah, sure. But, you know, I because like, it's so, so easy to introduce a security hole. And these programs are so complex. And if you're doing work on the database ever, you know, that's any amount, like any time you're doing that, that's an opportunity for you to accidentally, you know, make one little mistake so I don't know. My reaction to this is just like kind of a, eh, they got hacked. Eh, you know, whatever. Because like it's so easy to introduce like a bug, you know. You just have to be like so careful when you're doing this to make certain, absolutely certain, that there's no security holes. And anytime you're doing any work, you know, that's an opportunity for you to make just one little mistake, and that just fucks everything up. You know, law of averages. There's no such thing as secure data on the internet. Is my reaction to it. So you know, yeah, they got hacked. That sucks. It sucks for Patreon. Sucks for everyone involved in Patreon. Sucks for us in some fashion that I'm not even sure I comprehend yet. But you know, It's not that huge of a surprise. You know, I'm not like, oh, it's terrible that Patreon did this.
I think we know kind of the boundaries of it so far, at least based on what's been announced, right? Like, passwords are solidly hashed and solidly salted and are unlikely to be cracked. Passwords are pretty solid. Change them to be safe, but they use solid encryption. Passwords shouldn't be an issue. They also shouldn't have an issue with credit card numbers. All that stuff was stored off-site. It's not stored on Patreon servers. It's not stored in their database. That stuff is solid and good. The only thing they got, and it does suck that they got it, and I don't want to undersell this, is they got basically the entire database of Patreon stuff, which includes any PMs or IMs you may have sent anyone. That actually does suck, because if you gave someone your address, that address is now out in that database. If you PM'd some, and this is PMs, this is not for payment information, but if you like, you know, if you sign up for Patreon to get a reward, that might be a problem. And that doesn't mean anything.
If you were sending like sexy emails to like the Miller Report, you fuck. You are fucked, son.
Wouldn't you want the world to know about that though? Wouldn't you want to be like tweeting about every sexy email you sent?
I think I might have played my hand.
Well, Mumbles, now the internet knows.
It would have, you know what though? Can I just say, can I just say that I actually think that Burns is a lot more attractive than Miller? Like, Miller's cute, but Burns is like way more attractive. Miller's more for girls, Burns is more for like the ladies.
Uh huh. Who are these people?
They're from this, this website called Video Gamer TV, or just videogamer.com, I guess. And they're these British dudes who do funny videos on the internet. Who would have thought, right? And Miller is like this super buff dude who is like the boy version of me, but not as cool. And Burns is a crazy psychopath who's very handsome. So, this Monday, I guess, the ratings, the viewer ratings for Raw, the WWE's main flagship show, were as low as it's ever been. It hasn't been this low since 1997, which was right before the Attitude Era. To give you some perspective, like, the viewer ratings right now is about 3 million, but during the Attitude Era, it was more like 6 million. So it's basically cut in half as the Stone Cold Era. Attitude Era, Stone Cold, The Rock, that kind of shit. Okay, so right now, basically, the viewers are dropping off by the millions. People don't watch the product anymore, except for the hardcore fans. And the reasoning is, from what I think, is the people who are writing the show have never been in a fight before. Like, it seems to me that it's a bunch of nerds... What's so funny?
Rex Stern is someone else who's
as somebody who
before.
Plays video games. This comes off as very hollow criticism. If I use that standard for judging games about fighting, I would never play a video game ever.
Let me just give an example. Most of the top main wrestlers who are big and tough motherfuckers use baby talk. They also reference cartoons from the 50s and 60s that no one's fucking watched.
The 50s, not 90s? Really? Why wouldn't they reference 90s cartoons?
There's been a recent storyline where one girl was part of this group of three girls, and then one day she decides that she hates them, and she makes fun of the family, and then she makes fun of her friend. And then the next night, she totally just calls them losers, basically. And then the next night, the two other people on the team are like, do you still want to be on our team? If you just say you're sorry, then you can be on our team again. That doesn't make sense in a world where people resolve their issues by hurting each other. And the fact that the people who are writing this show don't keep that in mind, that conflicts are resolved by punching each other, like, in the head, is the reason why the show is complete shit. Like, okay, I know that what I said was kind of fucked up.
It's like putting a dialogue wheel in a Street Fighter game.
It's like if you had Commander Shepard be like, oh, it's cool, Reapers. Like, I know that you destroyed a bunch of planets, and you guys are probably going to destroy Earth, but if you guys want to be friends now, let's try it. Let's see what happens. Like, it just doesn't work for people who are supposed to be tough guys. Like, these are supposed to be tough motherfuckers who are like, you know, would beat the crap out of each other, beat the crap out of anyone who steps up to them. And instead, they're like doing baby talk and, you know, talk, gesticulating to each other and just like, it's just so lame. It's like they resolve their conflicts through talking. That's not what I want in wrestling. I want to resolve conflicts through fighting each other real hard.
Zangief, why are you crying, buddy? You want to talk about it?
Hey, buddy.
It's like if instead of beating the shit out of Vegeta, Goku just talked to him until he joined the side.
See, like, that makes complete sense. That totally makes sense. I think the reason I laughed was that is the most mumbles criticism I could have possibly imagined. I think the big problem with this Subway sandwich is that the person who made it has never been in a fight.
Yeah, I would really say it about anything. The reason why this romance game isn't any good is because whoever wrote it has never been in a fucking fight before.
Is it maybe that you just want to fight people? Is that the problem here?
Maybe I have a long history of fighting people.
Well, I'm glad you're on opposite sides of a continent. That's all I can say.
I do also wonder, like, if this is an economic thing. Like, maybe this is wishful thinking on my part, but how's television been doing these days? Not great from what I hear. Like, is there a way to just watch wrestling online legitimately without a subscription service?
I watch it on Hulu. And the cool thing is that I watch the 90-minute version of Raw. For people who don't know, Raw is 3 hours long.
Do they do wrestling Twitch streams? Because I feel like that might actually bring in enough capital to sustain it. I could be completely wrong about that.
That would actually be really interesting.
Could you imagine trying to moderate the chat on that, though? Because that sounds like a nightmare.
Especially now that it's a PG
stream
company.
Monsters heckling Stone Cold. I don't know. Yeah, Stone Cold, does he still wrestle at all? Because that seems like a really bad idea if he does.
Whatever happened to Jerry Lawler?
Jerry Lawler is he's the announcer. I think he's on SmackDown. I don't know if he's on... I don't think he's on Raw anymore. I think he's on SmackDown.
I was not expecting an earnest answer to that, so I am impressed.
Don't step up to me on wrestling shit!
I think he's surprised that he's still a thing at all.
He's still around. For Stone Cold, he hasn't been wrestling. He hasn't wrestled for, I think, over a decade, maybe, or maybe a little around a decade. But the rumor is that he's coming back this WrestleMania to fight Brock, which is a bad idea because Stone Cold doesn't have knees anymore. He doesn't have knees. He has robot knees. And if he fights Brock, he's going to die. He's going to literally die.
So dibs on criticizing his performance as lukewarm.
Like, didn't The Rock also beat John Cena, you know, in a great big battle, like, a couple years ago?
Oh, The Rock's fine. The Rock is actually probably going to fight Triple H at WrestleMania. It's
Wait,
Stone
the
Cold.
Rock is still doing WrestleMans? I thought he was Dwayne Johnson now. And had hung up the tights and
he was
just
at WrestleMania.
Living his own identity. Wow, I didn't know this. I thought he was trying to distance himself from WrestleMania.
He was at the WrestleMania.
He was doing that in, like, the mid-2000s.
I guess it's like comic books, you know, when somebody says, I'm not going to be Iron Man anymore. I'm going to pass it on to somebody else. And then, you know, a couple years later, he gets his own book again and he puts the tights back on or whatever.
That doesn't seem like something Tony Stark would ever say.
Or Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker.
Or Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
The typical WrestleMan career trajectory is get handed a lame-ass character, at some point end up with a character that becomes really popular, wrestle for 20 years, retire, come back, die prematurely.
So, am I the only person who would watch wrestling if it notched it up, like, two or three bits? Like, I can't get into wrestling because it's always,
watch
like...
Watch Lucha Underground! watch Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground, let me give you an example of why Lucha Underground is so great. It's a completely different company. It's made by people who, it's made by basically Mexican wrestlers. There's a storyline where a guy steps into the middle of the ring and says, "Dragons aren't real." And then everybody boos, and then a guy who is literally a dragon comes out and says, "I'm a dragon, I'm gonna fight you." And then they fight, and it's awesome! Well, no, it's real life!
But it's real life! I agree with Campster on that, like if we got more stuff like that, or more stuff like...
Let me give you another example! Let me give you another example. Okay, there is this woman named Katrina, and she has a red stone that can summon skeletons, literally summon skeletons. And then when her boyfriend, who is the man of the million deaths, kills someone in the ring, she licks their face, steals their soul, and puts it in the fucking stone. That's what happens!
That sounds fucking rad.
See, that's like one notch up. I'm looking for one more notch up. Like, I want
like I'm imagining like a Japanese game show version of wrestling where it's just completely nuts.
Oh, I got one.
Do,
okay,
like their own wrestling stuff in Japan.
Okay.
Yes, Japan. Japan has one of the best wrestling companies in the world. But
I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Unfortunately, it's really just, I mean, WWE has been taking a bunch of people from Japan wrestling and stuff. Okay, but seriously, Lucha Underground, I'm telling you, you guys have to check this shit out. Like, there's a belt called the Belt or the Gift of the Gods, and there's a medallion. So if you win a medallion, it represents each different kind of god from Mexico. And then they take the belt out, and the medallion gets sucked into the belt. And then they're like, "This is the gift of the gods. You can use this belt to have a match whenever you want." And it's like, you had to have fought all these people to get the gift of the gods. And it's like, it's just so cool. It's just so fucking cool. Lucha Underground's the best. And they're having a season 2. So, it's...
Oh yeah, I remember that. I've seen that. My favorite guy was this like firefighter, and at one point his girlfriend, that's a translator, got kidnapped, and there was like this scythe and like a really big mining thing that can't be thrown out windows.
Are you thinking of Marlo Briggs? Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's Marlo Briggs.
Okay, I literally was struggling to remember that.
I forgot. Okay, but Marlo Briggs existed.
I can't believe the dragon thing isn't good enough for you, Camster. I can't believe a guy standing in the middle of the ring and literally saying, "I don't believe in dragons, they're not real," and then a dragon coming out is not fucking good enough for you.
Yeah, but that's like theater, right? Like, that's stage stuff. Like that's like Peter Pan and saying fairies aren't real and stuff.
Oh, wait, do you actually just want people murdering each other, Chris? Is that actually what you want?
No, like...
Camster, if that's what you want, I'll send you some fucking ECW tapes for the goddamn 1990.
I'm not looking for bum fights. What I'm looking for is, like...
That is the best description of ECW. I'm gonna use that.
What I'm looking for is, like, I don't know. I remember growing up looking at, and this is how old the guy is, Undertaker, being basically a necromancer wrestler. And I was always, like, enamored with that idea. And then I would, like, watch him fight, and it's, like, regular wrestling. Like, he didn't summon the dead, and he didn't, like, curse people. He just sort of did wrestling moves.
They have a lady literally summon skeletons, and they have this guy named... I mean, that's what you want, is someone literally summoning skeletons.
It is closer... I will not lie, what you have described is way more appealing to me than traditional wrestling, but what I really want is basically live-action soap opera DBZ. Like, I want, like, the world hangs on the fate of the outcome of this wrestle match.
It does.
Because somebody's going to get a thing, but because we need to stop the giant evil warrior that's going to stomp on the world.
Katrina's a necromancer! Katrina's a necromancer, and her boyfriend is the man of a million deaths. If that's not Dragon Ball Z enough for you, I don't know what is.
Guys, it seems we reached an impasse. I think there's only one way we can resolve this.
Yes!
In this corner!
Oh, Camster, I would feel sorry for you if you fought me. If we had an actual fight, that would be real sad.
This is kind of like a Rufus versus Chun-Li thing. I don't think this is fair.
Chris, cut a promo right now. Do it.
I don't have the voice for it.
You're the face. If you're the baby face, you don't have to do the regular kind of promo. You can just be yourself. Be nice. Be nice, Camster.
I'm gonna find Mumbles and I'm gonna snap her in two.
Well, Camster, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm gonna take you to Suplex City, bitch. Basically, I don't know why.
And then little cat skeletons show up and...
Cats, basically. I'm going to smother you with cats, is what I'm going to... If I was a wrestler, yeah. I feel like I already cut promos on people. I don't feel like I need to, like, start a wrestling, like, voice. I feel like I'm already there.
So, I'm going to move this on since I just realized that I'm actually the host of this show at this point.
That happened.
I don't know. Do we have time for... I kind of want to get to the thing where the D&D story. I want to resolve
that from last week because people are curious about it.
Okay. I'll not go into the full lavish detail, I guess, but they lived. They won against all those
beholders. I like how people who didn't listen last week are like, wow, let's go run some hardcore fucking D&D.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to describe what happened. It was, so to recap for people, it was second edition Dungeons & Dragons. It's a party of one level 3 fighter and 2 level 4 characters, a cleric and a thief, who are going up against a dungeon of about 20 beholderkin, which is to say they shouldn't be able to defeat any of those monsters. And there's 20 of them.
A group of people, like, twice their level would not be able to defeat those monsters traditionally.
Yes. No, absolutely not. A group of people twice their level would have great difficulty defeating one of those monsters. And the idea is that I want to sort of explain how... You know, the thing about D&D is that people make the mistake and assumption that everybody who plays it just wants to get into fights. When actually you find that some parties would rather do anything but get into a straight fight. They would rather do, like, they would literally rather explore any avenue that leads to success besides just getting in a room and punching out with them. So they formulated a plan. They sat out there for, like, 4 hours, and they went over it. And then I went out there, and I DM'd it, and it was really tense and really sort of intense, and it was, you know, the dice were rolling behind the screen, and everything went perfectly according to their plan, actually. Which was actually turned out to be a really good plan, and they managed to succeed. The short version of what their plan was they slowly spoofed the beholders into thinking that there was a migration, a periodic and random migration of rats into the area. They simulated, like, rats sort of becoming part of the ecosystem, and... Eventually, they dropped about 200 rats that were poisoned. And it was a kind of poison where if you get hit by it, it takes like 3 hours to kick in. And when it does, if you fail your save, it halves your stats. It halves your attribute points. And I re-ruled that if you're at 1 and your stats get halved, you die. So what happened was about half of them died, and because the Hive Mother died, basically the rest of them killed each other. And they got experience points for the ones that they killed with the poison, and they got all the treasure. So, yeah, you know, it's sometimes Dungeons & Dragons can turn into weird Cryptonomicon shit.
Man, do we even talk about video games?
Okay, there's... I do want to know one thing real quick. I think we have time for this. Mumbles had an answer to a question, which she would not disclose to us, and for my own sanity, I need to know what it is. Here's the question. Dear Diecast, what is your worst example of when a game overestimated how cool their character is? Examples for me include Johnny Gat and Kai Lang. All right, so Johnny Gat is a pretty good example, and we all agreed that even if we answered this question in great detail, nobody was allowed to say Kai Lang. Mumbles had an answer, which, again, she would not tell us. Mumbles, what is your answer to this
know.
Question?
I don't know. I kind of would like to hear you guys come up with a answer before I do.
Your answer is, eh.
God damn it, let's speedrun this. Okay,
my plan is to crowdsource a plan. No, my answer is the elusive man. He's
the elusive
also
man.
Yeah. The game thinks he's so cool with his smoking and his blue glowing eyes, and I look at him and I think, did you wander in from a different sci-fi genre? What are you doing here?
I'm disappointed that I can't come up with a better answer, because I know that I have one. But off the top of my head, I'm going to say Drizdado Urden from Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. Actually, any Forgotten Realms character from Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. The game's like, hey, yeah, check it out, it's that guy you love from those books you read in middle school. And I'm just like, get the fuck out of my life.
And in my case, it was like, who the fuck are these guys? I don't know anything about the Forgotten Realms.
All right, Josh, come with an answer.
I don't know. Maybe Sephiroth? I always thought Sephiroth seemed dumb.
Yeah.
Very good one.
But I haven't actually played Final Fantasy VII, so I'm not sure. I mean, if everything I've seen, like, I've seen some of the animated films, and he was really bad. I've seen Advent Children, which was a travesty.
I was actually about to say, okay, well, if you haven't played it, you can't say anything, but if you've seen Advent Children, never mind.
Yeah, granted, that was like 10 years ago. I can't say anything about what happened in that film, but...
You guys already know my answer. It's Aiden Pierce. I just cannot loathe how cool the game thinks he is, and he is not cool. He is a douchebag, and I do not like him.
All right.
That's a good answer,
Mumbles.
Too.
We've all given our
answers.
You
guys ready answer. For this? Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Handsome Jack.
Oh.
Handsome Jack. Okay, listen. Handsome Jack for the first couple hours of Borderlands is real, like, adorable and crazy and a great villain, but then it's clear to me that they love that character too much, and they just drag him all the way through Borderlands 2, and then they drag him all the way through the prequel, and then they drag him all the way through Tales of Borderlands. And it's too much. It's overexposure. They're too in love with the character. They think he's too cool.
You are correct. I would stick up for him, but you are 100% right.
See, I'll disagree a little bit, and it's a, like, I don't know if it's a tone argument or a slightly different argument, but, like, I do not disagree that they are far too in love with that character, and they give us too much of him, but I do think the character itself is as cool as they think he is. It's just, he is just blown, it's like, remember back when, Family Matters was on, and Urkel was the funny neighbor, and everyone loved Urkel. And it was like, Urkel was funny when he was the nerd that came to visit and was nerdy for about 10% of the show. When the show became about Urkel, it stopped being funny because it was just all Urkel all the time. Same problem with Handsome Jack.
But, like, I think it's, if you love a character so much, he becomes lame if you focus on him too much. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what happened with that character.
I'd agree with that, yeah. Although I haven't finished Borderlands, the Telltale game, so I don't know how bad that ends, but yes.
Yeah, I've never finished Borderlands 2. I didn't play anything after that, so...
Handsome Jack definitely should not have been in any other games other than Borderlands 2. I can agree with that. Make another character. If you can write that great character, that means you can write another character.
Exactly. I knew you guys were going to agree with me, but I also knew that you'd hate agreeing with me, and that's the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
Damn it, Mumbles.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about Soma, so that means Rachel gets a reprieve.
Can I give my spoiler-free review? It sucks!
My spoiler-free review, it's one of my favorites in the last several years, is awesome. My daughter played through Amnesia 6 times. That's how much she loved Amnesia.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Yeah. So she has been looking forward to this game, but she hasn't been able to play it yet. And so, and she's the one that edits these episodes.
What did she think of our Amnesia episodes for spoiler warning?
She watched, I don't think she watched our original.
Oh god, she watched the Pig Butts one.
She saw the Pig one. No,
she's
too young.
No, she turns 18 in just a couple months.
Okay.
I think I am too young to have been part of the MCU.
I think I'm too young for that one.
Pig Butts.
But she,
I'm at about the right
she
age.
She liked it. Because we were mocking the game, and she did not like A Machine for Pigs. She was not impressed at all. She was super disappointed in it. And she's hoping Soma is a return to form for Frictional. Because so Frictional didn't make Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs.
Yeah, that was some Chinese room. I will say, it's not A Machine for Pigs. No matter what else it is, it is not A Machine for Pigs.
That's true.
You will not have... You might not like it, but you will dislike it for a totally different reason this time. But there you go, Rachel. You've got 1 week to play through the game because next week we're going to
play
talk
it this
about
week.
It.
We are come hell or high water. We are going to talk about it next week. We've been putting this off for like 3 weeks now.
wait!
This isn't
can
even
we
spoiler warning?
Can we tell people like what games to play so that the next episode that we do of this, they're like ready for it? Like, go play Undertale if you haven't played it. Go play Beginner's Guide if you haven't played it. Go play those games.
Yeah, guys, we're going to talk about Unrest, so everyone go out and purchase copies of Unrest.
I thought you don't get money from that anymore.
I do not get money from Unrest anymore.
I don't think anybody gets money from Unrest anymore.
Can I just be proud of my artistic achievement? No, I don't care.
No.
Hey, and so, in contrast to Mumbles, Soma is one of my favorites. I highly recommend it. It is not that scary. If you want a scare fest, this is not that. If you want some Philip K. Dick style fiction, then you will probably like the game, because that's where it's going.
Jump on my butt, Chris.
It's been turned against you.
I quit spoiler warning forever.